Like the treasure chest.
Like the treasure, yes.
Very good, boys. Thank you very much. That's the boys in the band over there. Hey, it's hot and cold Saturday morning. I'm Tom. It's cold out. Baby, it's cold outside. It is, it's not, no, we got 2 weeks. 2 weeks to the day that winter begins. But the good, so that's okay. It's not bad news. It is what it is. The seasons come, the seasons go. The big news, we got 2 weeks, and the days start getting longer. This is the best time, you know, back in June, when we have the summer solstice, I'm sorry, that's not good news. It's the longest day of the year, and then the days start getting shorter, and look where it brought us to. Look where we are, boys and girls, moms and dads, uncles and aunts. Oh, I can't take it. These short days. But, you know, in a concession to the weather, I refuse. I have not, usually when it goes below 32 degrees, the thermals come out. And I haven't done it. I'm holding off. Maybe if I put it, because then I, you know, I get too warm. I'm running around all day. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Look, I want to get this comment a week ago today. A good friend of Maine, of the state of Maine, passed away, the humble farmer. We lost a humble farmer last week, and that wasn't an easy one to see. I mean, he was 88 years old. He was ill. But if you get on the Bangor Daily News website, I can't get it on here, but you can... You can catch it on the Bangor Daily website. He did his own video obituary, and it's a hoot. It's a typical. If you've never met Robert Skoglund, who was the humble farmer, he lived in St. George, and just a great guy. I got to know him, 10, 15 years ago. Somehow he got in touch with me about hooking up a radiant floor. He was making a little office in his basement, and he wanted to put a radiant floor in, and he had solar collectors. He had built his own solar hot water collectors and, wanted to heat the floor with the solar. And we had long discussions about how that's good and bad. And but he did it himself, and I talked him through it. It's pretty simple stuff. But he was the kind of guy that, in addition to just being funny and playing great music, he was a typical Mainer in this way that he would do things himself. He was a great friend of the town transfer station, getting stuff to do projects. So like when he built his own solar collectors, I believe the glass he got came from the transfer station. He scrounged it. And I think I gave him, I had some glass, insulated glass panels that I gave him for a solar project he was doing. But he was a piece of work. If you're not familiar with the Humble Farmer, it's never too late. You'll find he's online. And he used to do a TV show on public access. He was on Maine Public Broadcasting. There was not a falling out. There was some question of his content. And he got dropped from MPBN. And quickly thereafter, he started doing a public access TV show where he would just do kind of what I do here, you know, just sit and talk, but he would play jazz, and he was a great jazz aficionado and player. And anyway, it was just fun to watch the videos he would shoot. Very amateur, but very good. His sense of humor made up for any video faux pas. But just to get a snippet of a taste, look him up online if you get a chance, because you will not be disappointed. He was quite a guy. And, you know, there's a lot of us here in Maine that are characters, that's for sure. In the past week, I think I told you I bought a forklift for cheap, needed a head gasket. And I had to unload a delivery that was coming, and it came on Monday. And I said, as soon as that delivery is here, forklift's coming apart. I'm going to start tearing it down. Delivery came, and it was challenged to start because the head gasket is pretty well popped. But I got it started, unloaded. Really, Pete and I could have carried the pallet, but we used the forklift because that's what forklifts are for. And I brought it in the shop. It's a propane forklift, so I disconnected the propane, took the cover off, and then started picking at it. And this is a Caterpillar forklift, has a Mitsubishi engine. And I want to say it's from the early 2000s. And I know nothing about it. I haven't done a head gasket in probably 40 years. And it's got a timing belt. So I said, well, if we're doing this, we're going to do the timing belt too. And we're just going to, you know, do kind of routine maintenance. But first I had to get to it. So I start taking stuff off and taking pictures and labeling things, and got to a certain point. I got the timing belt has two covers, upper and lower. Took the upper one off. I'm looking at the lower one, and I look down at the bottom, and down where the crankshaft is, there's a bottom gear. Well, connected onto that bottom gear is a pulley that is running a whole bunch of stuff. And connected to the pulley is a rather substantial-looking universal joint. And this is on the front of the engine now. If it was oriented in a car, it's backwards in the forklift. But it's a universal joint. Well, where the heck does that go? What's that? And I looked, and goes to hydraulic pump. So, okay. So now the question is, how do you get all this apart? Well, I've said it on this show many times. I say it too many times to people. You know, if somebody put it together, we could take it apart. In theory, put it back together. And unhooked it. I got the U-joint unhooked, got it out of the way, and took, you know, just taking things apart step by step. And I'm basically down to the point now where I'm just about ready to take the timing belt off. I just have to get it to top dead center and get things oriented. And then we'll see what we got. But in the process, first step, you know, taking off the valve cover, looking down in, and I knew, because you could pull the dipstick and see, the oil looks like yogurt. So Everything needs to be cleaned thoroughly, and I'm not in a rush. And that is, you know, in life when you're doing, especially you're doing something, you don't know what the heck it is you're doing. And that happens to me a lot. If I have the luxury of time, that helps a lot. I could stop. I can go back on the computer and find stuff. And we'll talk more about this, but I got to take a break. I didn't realize I talked too much. I guess that's still a good thing, isn't it? Back to A19. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. I just want to go back to Robert Skoglund for a minute, the humble farmer. One of the things that endeared him to me, not that he wasn't already a great guy, was the fact that he was kind of ushered off of MPBN, as was Dick Hill, for different reasons. Actually, probably polar opposite opinions. But somebody complained, and they got, you know, so much for free speech, I guess. Different time, different people were managing at that point. That those people are gone. So they're still around, but they're not at the station. So I'm digging into the forklift, and I'm to the point. And next step is to take it apart. I ordered parts. And they made this, got an engine, a Mitsubishi 4G63. This is information I don't want to have in my head. And I've spent way too much time trying to find out about the 4G63 Mitsubishi four-cylinder engine, which I ordered timing belt and everything. And duh, Mr. Stupid here, there's two engines. There's single overhead cam and double overhead cam. Of course, being a forklift, it's got single overhead cam. Of course, Mr. Stupid here got the double overhead cam timing belt kit, so that's got to go back. And trying to source the right parts has been interesting, getting online with things. Caterpillar site, you go in, you put serial number in, and it doesn't comprehend it. I'm like, wait a minute, you're the manufacturer. In fairness, it was made in 2004 or 5, I think, but still, that's not that long ago. Car manufacturers keep these parts in place, and I can get the parts through car folks. So I just have to be real careful. Nothing more frustrating in my world is to get the wrong part, and that happens with great regularity, whether it be my fault or somebody else's fault. But I'll keep you posted. We're making progress. My friend Nat came over yesterday. And we looked at it, and he left. But it's almost there. It'll be interesting to see if it actually all works when I'm done. It is what it is. I don't want to be a mechanic anymore. I don't. But and I do have mechanics who I can have come over to help or do it. But you know, there's a male ego thing here. I've got it this far. I could take it apart. I've done it before. Granted, it was 40 years ago. I was 40 years younger. My brain cells maybe were working better back then. I'm not sure. But we'll find out. So, you know, is what it is. Oh, my goodness. So much stuff. Oh, I had to order a car part from Wisconsin. And it was a rear axle beam front wheel drive car, rear axle beam. I didn't need to get the rear axle beam, but it was the most expedient way to do a repair. So I get the thing in. I'd seen pictures. It was on eBay. I find it looks good. A lot of pictures, looks good. Professional parts recycler. I order it, comes in. It looks better than it did in the photos. Now, it's what, 13 years old. And it looks new. And it's from Wisconsin. Now, I talk about this a lot. I'm going to talk about it again. Rust in Maine. What the hell are they putting on the roads in Wisconsin that this thing doesn't show any rust? It's Wisconsin. It's colder in Wisconsin than it is in Maine. I guarantee you, as I sit here Saturday morning at 8:23, they have more snow than we do. They have, I'm certain, more ice than we do. And whatever they're doing, shouldn't we be doing it? Because we, you and me, and anybody who has a three-wheel vehicles too, is dealing with rust as a legacy of what's on the roads. And yeah, it's fantastic to get on the road. Yesterday morning, I got up early. I thought I was going to have to plow. I came down, got the truck, and found there was nothing to plow. And the roads were clear. So there was no black ice there on the main roads. Side roads were a whole other story. But what is different? As a state, as the glorious state of Maine, shouldn't we be conferring with everybody in the other 49 states to find out what they're, well, granted, I don't care what they do in Florida, but at least in the northern tier states and Canada, for that matter. And I guess a lot of it is sand. Maybe they just use sand. I'm willing to shovel the sand off the side of the road rather than have me and anybody I know have to deal with major rust. I mean, I'm seeing stuff that even with undercoating, we're still struggling and to make sure that, you know, cars are going to last. It's not good. It's just highly inappropriate is what it is. In 2024, this shouldn't be something we have to deal with. But I don't know. We'll see. And other news, that more pleasant news, I guess. Maybe you consider pleasant, maybe not. I'm back in the banjo making deal again now that it's cold out and I can spend time in the basement fooling around. I'm just trying basically reinvent the thing, trying to make it lighter, make sure it sounds good, and make sure it looks decent. We're dealing with angles and stuff because you have to have the string height right, and there's a lot of moving parts, which is kind of cool about banjos, because it bolts together, and you can tweak things, you can turn, you can tighten, you can loosen, you can take apart, and it's kind of fun. So the most recent one, it's taken a while. I've been waiting for hardware, finally landed, it actually went together. And I'm making strides. Not sure anybody else will care, but I'm happy. And I will. Okay, so here we sit, December 7th. Here's the threat. I will bring in this most recent instrument to the radio station some Saturday morning. I'm not going to say when, because I have to. The muse has to be with me. Because if the muse ain't here, we're all in trouble. But I'll bring it in. Just maybe. And maybe I'll do sound comparison. So what I did, I got it together. I was happy with it. I come upstairs with two banjos. My wife's sitting there doing a puzzle, Christmas puzzle. This is Christmas puzzle season, in case you didn't know that. And I said, I need to do a sound comparison with you. So I played her the two most recent banjos I've made. She says, I can't really tell the difference. And I understand they do sound very similar. So I go into the banjo room, which is different than the basement. Actually, there's more in the basement than there is in the banjo room at this point. And I grab one of my favorites. And I said, okay, well, let's listen to this one. And what was striking to me was the instrument I just made is extraordinarily light. And, you know, if you get on a banjo forum, and everybody has theories about musical instruments and sound and stuff, but the theory is that if it's heavier, it tends to sound better. Well, this thing is really light. So so the newest one is light. The prior one to that, that I made, I don't know, several months ago, is heavier. And then the one I picked up out of the banjo room was a lot heavier. And I've always liked it. It's a nice sounding instrument. And I play them for her. She says, well, they're all about the same. So I think that's a good thing. I don't know. Either that or she's just burnt out on banjos, which I would understand. But anyway, that's what keeps me going. And I'm not sure if my wife is a good interpreter. I think she is a good interpreter of banjos. She's been hearing them and dusting them for years. So. Oh, my goodness. What else we got? This is something that has struck me. You know, Saturday morning, I'm making notes for the program. I'm scribbling things down. And, you know, during the week, I'm writing checks for things, you know, parts and stuff, whatever. And I have noticed that my penmanship is deteriorating. I don't write cursive very much. I do try to print a lot, but I you're always typing, you know, and obviously we get emails and stuff, and it's legible. So, you know, I'll fill out an envelope. I'm always sending stuff to the state for car stuff. And I have to pay critical attention to the fact that I am not writing as clearly as I used to. I got to start taking penmanship lessons. I got to practice is what I got to do. I'm going to get the lined paper, and I'm just going to start practicing. That'll do it. Hey, we got to take a break. It is 8:30 right now, and we'll be back in a little bit. Okay, we're back. 8:34. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. A little bit of the waltzing cat in the background, which is highly appropriate because we're going to talk to Chelsea over at Bangor UMaine. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. How are things going?
It's wonderful. It's obviously starting to get a lot chillier, so we've got a lot of really wonderful snuggle buddies over here, so we're going to get right into it and talk about some of our forever friends here that are looking for their families, not forever friends, excuse me, looking for their forever families. Let's reword that.
Right.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about a cat today, more a kitten. Her name is Cruella. She has been with us for a little bit of time. She is the sweetest 4-month-old kitten, and she's ready to go home. Now, you're probably going to ask, why has she been with us for so long? She is actually a special kitten. She has a heart defect who is looking for somebody who is equally as special as her in a human. While her lifelong medical condition does require vet care, it does not slow her down, and she's full of energy and love, and she loves making biscuits. And she adores snuggling as well. If you have a place in your heart for this wonderful kitten who just needs a little extra care and love, come on and meet this wonderful cat who just who just loves to love. She's so sweet. And
pretty one.
If you go right on our website as well, you'll be able to see a picture of her too.
Yeah.
Now, we also have dogs as well. We've got a lot of longer stay dogs here. And we're going to talk about somebody we've probably talked about before, but he's definitely ready to find his family. It's out there. Now, Baron is a future loyal companion. He is a four-year-old Mastiff mix. As he is an older dog, he brings the calm assurance of a friend who knows exactly who he is. Dependable, loving, and always there when you need him. Now, this is Baron's second stay at Bangor Humane Society, and he's more than ready to settle down in his forever family. He's looking for a place where he can be the one and only. He is a bit of a lone wolf, as other animals aren't really his thing, but he has plenty of love to give. He is a seasoned explorer and would thrive with an experienced dog owner who he can bond with. While he enjoys the occasional playful burst of energy, me too, usually when it comes to stuffies or toys or for a quick walk, he knows when it's time to relax. Me too as well.
Yeah.
He also is great with kids, but just watch out for those smaller toy balls. He has been known to mistake them for a snack and had to have one surgically removed.
Oh, that no.
Keep those away from him.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
He thinks they're food.
Okay. So it probably
he is in his golden years.
Might be good to not be with a golfer.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
He will eat those golf balls. Yeah, yeah. Keep those away from him. He is in his golden years, so he's ready to retire in a cozy home that appreciates his mellow side. He does take a couple of daily supplements to help with his joints, mm-hmm. keeping the vets away and making him feel good. If you're ready to open your heart and home to this gentle giant, don't hesitate to reach out. He is a goofball. I love him so much, and he's definitely ready to get out of here into his forever family.
He is so, one handsome
we
dog.
We know what's out there. Oh, he is. He is very, he loves the camera. He does great in front of it, if you can tell on his picture.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Yeah, we've got a lot of really wonderful animals at the shelter right now. And, you know, they're ready to get out of here and find that forever family. And we know there's a lot of you out there. So please come on in and see all of our wonderful animals that we have up for adoption right now.
Super. And you're open today from 12 to, noon to 6.
Yes, and then typically we're open Monday through Friday from 1 to 6 p.m. Keep an eye on our Facebook page for upcoming holiday hours, which we'll post right on our Facebook page.
Okay, thank you for that. I just want to mention, I do show prep and I'm getting ready, and they did a study with cats to try to figure out if cats understand us when we speak. And I know you're going to find this hard to believe. But the cats understand, but will tend to ignore us.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
for sure. Duh. I can see that. My cat does that very frequently in the morning.
Yeah, I get it. You know, in the morning especially, and cats don't drink coffee.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, it takes a while to get revving up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're ready.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chelsea, thank you. It's good to talk to you. And
yeah.
I hope some of these guys go home today.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Me too.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's do that there. We had some messages come in. New England oil undercoating has a critter repellent supposed to be 92% effective. I guess we'll find out. Car doctor was gung-ho about Shell gas. I've been using Shell Nitro. Required in my car for years. I wonder if it's better. I don't know. You have to rely on somebody's doing testing. I think if you have a muscle car, you need a higher octane gas. But I think for most normal, get from point A to point B cars, unless it's specified, I don't think it's a big deal. I'm not sure about New Hampshire oil. I've not used it. He likes it. I think it's probably as effective as all the others, which may or may not be good. I mean, they're all good. My concern is they all tend to wear off. I was just underneath one the other day that was done about a year ago. And there's, I guess I'd call them wear points underneath the car where stuff tends to kick up more. And those are the areas that need to be touched up. The majority of underneath this particular car I looked at looked pretty good. But there were spots where it was gone. And, you know, it's just something we got to do now is make sure that we maintain undercoating. Somebody asked if I could start a petition to put the issue of road stuff on the ballot. No, I'm not going to do it. My spare time. I think it's more of a step where either our legislators need to deal with this, or somebody already in the bureaucracy needs to address it. And as I've said before, if somebody out there in DOT wants to come on, I would love to spend some time talking about it. I'd also like to hear what they know about other states that may or may not have the problem. If the oil looks like yogurt, I wonder what condition the main bearings are in. I know. I'm going to be flushing that thing. We'll drain it. We'll put fresh oil and filter on it, run it a little bit, change it again. The good news is I'll probably put some magic potions I don't want to call them magic potions, some oil additives to make sure. We had a car that had a blown head gasket that we did a head gasket on. It was a Prius, had a blown head gasket, and the oil didn't look good. We've dealt with this before and it's been okay. This one wasn't, and it threw a rod. And we put a new engine in the car, and then it was okay. But, you know, it happens. And how do you know unless you tear the whole engine down? At that point, you're rebuilding it anyway. Fortunately, it doesn't usually – it's a question of how long somebody's run the car with an issue as to how bad the bearings might be hit. Or any other wearable part in the engine, but it's going to be the bearings usually that are going to be the problem. 2022 WRX will run on regular gas. Okay. All right. What else? Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. I was my dear wife treads cautiously about throwing projects at me. But and she's, you know, it's not a do this because, you know, you don't do anything. You're at home except fool around banjos. But she asked me about this, and she's right. We need to do paint touch-up inside the house. This is the time of year to do it. And I've got some bleed through from pine that was used for trim that had some knots, and I've got the kills, and I've got the paintbrush, and it's got my name on it. So I think I'm gonna try to get that knocked out before the holiday hits, and do some touch up too. There's areas where we got it done, moved in, and now 3 years later, it's time to go do some touch up and spiff things up a little bit. Things always look better when they're spiffed up, myself included. Well, that might be questionable. I'm not sure. The treehouse in Frankfort, the one right at that right angle turn right by the Frankfort Fire Department, is still for sale. I'm finding this hard to believe, hard to believe and not hard to believe. $50,000 for a 4,000 square foot house that needs a tremendous amount of work, but it's not falling into the ground yet. And it's a historically significant property. And it's the wrong time of year to take on a project like this. But, man, I keep looking at it. You know, every Saturday, I'm up and down the Bangor a lot. But every time I go by it, it's like, boy, I'd really love to dig into this. First thing I would do is hire a crew and have them gut it. I ain't got nothing. I'll start with the bare studs and fix things and go back from there. But it's still available. If it's on Zillow, I don't think it's on realtor.com, but it is on Zillow. Take a look at it. It's, the realtor is, at Better Homes and Gardens in Belfast. And I know her first name is Susie, and I'm blanking out on the last name. But if just there's only one Susie there, and she's the one you want to talk to. So, I've been dealing with car auctions online for years now. And one of the things that's fascinating is some of the auctions you deal with, there's people bidding. Well, I'll give you an example. Local auction that I can go to, I can stand there and bid. Usually I'm up and I look at the cars and then I go back to the office and I can work on stuff till the auction comes up and then I'll go bid on it. And I'll be bidding online as an online bidder, and you're bidding against people on the floor. And there's somebody from Mexico bidding on cars in Herman, Maine. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. How did they make that work? How do the logistics, I assume they're getting a full trailer of cars to bring back to Chihuahua, Mexico is where it was. But other online auctions I look at, I'm bidding against people in Georgia, not Georgia, USA, Georgia, old Soviet Union, or Ukraine, or Niger in Africa, or I can understand Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabia, places like that, I guess. But Ukraine is fascinating because they kind of do have this war thing going on. And there's people over there still importing cars and fixing them and I guess selling them. But it's fascinating to see. And you kind of wonder, again, what's the logistics? I think you could probably get a couple, two or three, depending on the size of the car, you get two, three, maybe even four cars in a container and ship them for, I want to say the shipping costs from our area over somewhere east of us, be that Africa or Europe, is a couple, $3,000 to $4,000 for a container. And I guess the economics work, although some of these guys just go crazy bidding on these cars. And I'm not quite sure how that works. The one that I find fascinating is, you know, you're looking at a Toyota Tundra or a Toyota Tacoma, relatively new car. Maybe it got hit in the front or maybe, you know, it obviously hurt, but it's repairable. And they're going to Afghanistan or Pakistan. Or Iran, and you wonder, maybe not Iran, maybe Iraq, or Syria. And what kind of gun's going to be mounted in the back of that sucker when it gets done? It's, I don't want to be stereotypical, but it's kind of interesting. Those cars, some of the SUVs, but certainly the trucks, Toyota pickup trucks, are the truck of choice if you're a terrorist, I guess. And I guess they as we know good vehicles when they see them. But anyway, our phone number again, 1-800-966-1039. Our text line is 601-207-4408. The thing that's been going on in the past 2 weeks is I've been running tests at my house with outdoor reset control, and I seem to have tweaked it to the right point where the water is circulating all the time, and the heating devices in the house, which are mostly radiant panels, are always warm. Tepid as it gets, and we've got some 50 degree days coming this week. Midweek, I think. So it's going to be interesting to see how it throttles back. But this morning I left, it was 12 degrees at my house. And the house is maintaining a steady temperature, except, I put stuff in the wood stove, junk mail and stuff that I just don't want to throw out. Might have my insurance thing on it or something. So that'll go in the wood stove. So last night I thought, you know what? It's going to be cold tonight. I want to make a fire for a little while. So I make a fire. And it wasn't a big fire. I didn't put hardly any wood in. We went to bed. And I get up at 12:30 and it's like, oh my God, what's going on? Do I have a fever? The fire had gone out by the time we were going to bed. But I'm checking the temperature in different areas. It was like 75 degrees, where normally it's around 70, 72. And so this morning my wife says, you know, I got up at 12:30. She got up right after I did. The fun thing is, she got up right after me. I'm back in bed. She didn't know I'd gotten up. I hear her get up and go into the other room, the bathroom, and I'm asleep before she gets back, which was great. So I have that gift. If I have nothing else, I can fall asleep on a dime. But it was quite warm, and I was almost to the point, well, I don't need a T-shirt. Let's get rid of that. It did cool down by morning. Let's go to the phones at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Morning, Tom. It's Dave from Bradley.
Hey, Dave.
I missed out on some of the details on your conversion of your Toyotomi boiler to make it run so it doesn't short cycle.
Yeah.
Do you mind going over that again?
No, Dave, that's my secret. You can't have that one. Yeah, I will. I've got about three.
Say first.
I got about 3 minutes, so I don't have a lot of time, but I can explain it. So if you, my first thought was I'll just turn the power on and off to the unit, you know, at the outlet, and I thought if I do that, I'm going to interrupt the cycle that it goes through once it stops. Just for background, for people who don't know,
understood.
Toyotomi, yep. Fan comes on, runs for 5 seconds or so, 10 seconds, to establish a draft. Then the burner comes on, and it burns for whatever. Burner shuts off. The fan continues to clear all the combustion products out of the boiler, and it shuts off. So if you interrupt the power, like if you just pull a plug on it, which is what I sort of was thinking of doing, it could interrupt that cycle, and it could interrupt it midstream while it's burning, and then the exhaust products may leak out. It's not perfect. So I was doing some experimenting. The on-off switch you have on the Toyotomi, if that unit is running, while the burner is running, if you turn that unit off, you hit that button, the burner turns off, but the fan keeps running. We got a clue here. So I took the cover off to access the electronics, and it's everything is labeled. God bless them. They labeled everything. So if you need to check something, you can test it. So there's want to say three wires that go from the from that on-off switch to the motherboard. And I think two are positive, negative, and they're like 5 volts or 12 volts, something like that. And the third one seemed to be the one that was the control. And I could tell you, Dave, if you want to email me, I don't remember which wire it was, but it was pretty evident. And I cut the wire and just tested it, you know, on off, and it did exactly what I wanted it to do. So, and it's low voltage. Like I say, it's 5 or 12 volts DC. So I ran thermostat wire into the unit, and that goes to a relay to interrupt it. If it's not calling for heat, it'll just shut the unit down. And then it'll close when it's calling for heat, and it'll come back on.
And so you got it to run for like 2 minutes at a time and then off for like 40?
That has to do more with the way the control is functioning, the outdoor reset. I don't understand why it's doing that so well, except it's heating up the vessel basically. It really seems to be functioning the same, but, it's functioning as a cold start the way I have it operating. So it is tending to, run for a steady 2 minutes, and that's perfect for what I'm looking for. Dave, I got to let you go because we're out of time. We'll be back in a little bit. All right, we're back. 9:06, hot and cold, Saturday morning. God, I love this song. A couple things. First of all, our friends at General Appliance, you want to know about them, because if you have appliances in your house, and who doesn't have appliances? Maybe a two-year-old, but everybody else has got appliances, and they do break. And when they do break, you need to know about General Appliance. They're on Center Street in Brewer, open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. And their phone number is 989-4341, 989-4341. Yeah. And also, my buddy Massimo, hey, Paisan, he's open right now. And it's not too early to go get bread. It's never too early for Italian bread. You knew that. Okay. I just got notice. I got an email. This is a very exciting day. My fifth string pips are being delivered today. There's one person out. Well, there may be two people who know out Radioland what a fifth string pip is. I just ordered them. They're coming today. By golly, that's what you call service. Okay. All right. God, I love that song. That's a great song. This is the Ukrainian Radio Symphony Orchestra, by the way, playing American music. Leroy Anderson doing a great job. God. I got a car story. Get back to what we were talking with Dave about the wiring for the Toyotomi. By interrupting that circuit, basically turning the power off to make the burner function, it becomes a cold start boiler. So then it has to run for 2 minutes or so to heat up. And the whole time it's running, it's delivering heat as well. And the stored heat that's in there will cycle. And it might run more cycles, but it's not on, off, on, off, on, off, because it's going from whatever room temperature is up to whatever the set point temperature is, maybe 120, as opposed to being 120 or... Yeah, excuse me. It's being 115 and heating up to 120, and it runs for, 15 seconds. And that drives me crazy. So, in theory, it should not need as much cleaning. So, we shall see. I just got notice on my iPhone, too, on my Apple Watch. Oh, my goodness. The pips have been delivered. Pete must have picked them up at the post office. Man. You talk about having something to look forward to today. A pip is a string nut, if you know what a string nut is, for the fifth string on a banjo. And I was running out of pips. And, if you run out of fifth string pips, I want to tell you, all banjo progress comes to a grinding halt. So, look, while Pete is at the post office still, I got to tell you a story. I've told you about this. I bought a car that he didn't want me to buy, and it was from a customer. It was in their driveway. I looked at it. It didn't look rusty. It was like a 2006 or 7, and it didn't. I have no idea why this thing is not rusted, except I suspect maybe they went to car wash a lot. At any rate, it needed no rust repair on a 2006 car. That's unheard of. So I grabbed it for parts or whatever. And I'm looking at it, well, let's get this thing running. Maybe we, somebody can. It's got 264,000 miles on it. It's not a new car. But it's not horrible either. So for some reason, I think we had it up for some service. I forget. Have mechanic go through it. I sent Maria to go pick it up this week. And she calls me. It's always good when my daughter calls me when she's retrieving a car. I'm on the road. All the brake lights are on, and the car won't go above 11 miles an hour. So fortunately, she was near the mechanic. She brought it back. He checked it out. He couldn't find anything on a scan tool that was wrong. I go up, and I look at it. I say, well, maybe it's a 12-volt battery. It had some weird codes. Anyway, so I go up to pick up the car. And it does the same thing to me. I thought it was okay, did the same thing. So what's happening is the traction control is on. And as soon as you hit 10 miles an hour, traction control kicks on, won't kick off. Can't go over, if you slow down, it'll go off. But I can't drive from point A to point B at 9 miles an hour. So I go back to the shop and I'm researching it. And there's a manual, there's an override you can do for traction control. And Toyota does this. I don't know if other car manufacturers, I'm sure other car manufacturers do it. And I call it the hokey pokey thing. So you get in the car and you start the car twice without starting the engine. You just go into ignition mode two times. And then you press the gas pedal twice. And then you, and I'm going from memory now because I screwed it up several times before I got it. Then you put the car in neutral. You have to put on the emergency brake. They want you to put the car in neutral. Then press the gas pedal two more times. and then you had to do something else. And then the it disables traction control. And the car ran. Car wasn't it gave me indicators that there was a problem, but car ran as normal as it's going to. I suspect my mechanic checked it for speed sensors, which would be typical. I think it's maybe skid control computer. I don't know. But anyway, I got it back. But the hokey pokey thing, that's a thing. And I think most manufacturers have this hokey pokey routine that you can do on cars when you're in that mode. The problem is usually you're on the road and you know, to have you're probably in freak out mode because you're doing 9 miles an hour and really you shouldn't be on the road trying to research it. So it was interesting. It was interesting. So let's see. We got some text messages here. 2024 and prior Tacomas are great. Many transmission and differential issues with the 2025 plus outrageous price increase. Yes. The direct injection, I understand, has some issues as well. But I'm not worrying about buying any 2024 or 2020 Tacomas just hold their value so well. It's absolutely incredible. I do have a 2011 Tundra with 215 or something like that, that I just love. They're great trucks. Unless you can pull off ultra low bid at auction, seems like a fool's errand, which is kind of made for me, to buy a car you can't even visually inspect, let alone test drive. Well, yes and no. The good news is that I have bought salvage cars, because that's primarily what we're talking about here, for a long time. And some places that are online share more information than others. And the lack of information can, at that point, I stop. I'm not going any further. Having said that, generally speaking, I do make out okay. I'm pretty picky about what I buy. It's got to be a fairly simple repair. And it's fascinating that what insurance companies will just total out. But it happens. In terms of if I can go and visually inspect the car and drive it, and I'm not talking about insurance auctions, I'm talking about regular car auction, I do it. When it comes to Priuses, I know them well enough that I know what I can risk and what I can't risk. And I do regularly buy Priuses online. So, as fellow Apple Watch user, some fun, you could try the Snoopy watch face is what I have. So, we're on the same page there. He says it shows different brief cartoon each day. Each time you check that's why I have the Snoopy watch on. I'm looking at him right now. He's hanging from the minute hand. You know, to me, this is great. I don't have a dog, but I got Snoopy on my wrist all day long, every day. It doesn't take much to keep me happy. I got to take a break. How about that for something, huh? Let's see. Oh, here we go. That's a good one. We play that one, and we'll go to a break. And we come back. I'm sure Pete will be with us in a little bit. Oh, classical music. That's what it is. I love those, I love anything by Leroy Anderson, who wrote this song, Sleigh Ride. And I've been playing Leroy Anderson stuff all morning. But you just can't beat this version. Ding-a-ling-a-ding-dong-ding, indeed. The Ronettes on Saturday morning on Hot and Cold. Good morning again. Phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. here's a question I have no answer for. I'm prefacing it. Hi, Tom. My 2004 Explorer has an issue as I'm driving. The door ajar light stays on and beeps. Yes, I opened and slammed all the doors. The next step is to check the actual switches. I believe those there should be a screw there that holds them in place, and that's the next step, is to be checking each switch to make sure they work properly. Obviously, one of them has failed. It is 24 years old. And, you know, that's a pretty good run. My shop's only about 2,000 square feet, which is not huge in the overall scheme of things. We're not a big operation, so it's not a major issue. But being able to use space efficiently is always has been a challenge. And I had the luxury of getting a whole bunch of shelves from my buddy Kurt 8 months ago. Excuse me, setting them up, and that helped me get a lot of stuff organized, and I still have more to organize, but that's sort of an ongoing endless project. But I have a lot of workbenches, and they always get covered with stuff, especially if I have a project going on. And I got everything in the shop now on casters. I can roll around anything I want. And I tell you what, I'm not the brightest bulb. Pete will admit to this. He'll be on in a moment. But casters, baby, it's the only way to go.
I'm starving to death.
You are.
Dear God, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor.
Get ready, Pete, we're gonna sing.
But it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were rich, all day long I'd be if I were a wealthy man. Wouldn't have to work hard.
Okay, you're out of sync with the
Well, that's not the right version. That's like a live version that you're playing.
It is. Yeah, it is a live version.
Yeah. So I mean, I could tell right away. I'm like, I'm not going to know the pacing on this one.
Tempo, Pete. Tempo. Good morning,
okay,
Pete.
It's been over 100 years, so I think it's okay to ask this now. I think it's the sensitivity's gone away. And I'm not trying to be funny, but did the Titanic survivors get a refund?
I doubt it.
They didn't get their ticket price. I mean, technically, they made it to the other side.
True.
Like, they got there, and that's what the ticket price was for.
Yeah, but they got to Newfoundland.
It wasn't a great ride, but, you know.
Some of them got to New York, I guess, but. You know, you're.
Maybe they got a voucher for the next trip.
Your mother's. Let me get this right. Great aunt, I think it's Sarah, was going to be on the Titanic. And for some reason, she couldn't get the ticket or something happened. She did not go.
You know what's great about that is that literally could be made up and nobody would ever know.
Well, your mother told me, and she doesn't lie.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure because why would anybody make that up? But it's like. You know, I like facts like that. You know, like there was one time I had coffee with David Schwimmer waiting for a plane.
Yeah.
Like we were sitting next to each other we were talking about the plane delay, me and David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Okay. Okay.
But prove it didn't.
All right. Got a message here. Tom, on the way to Ski Loaf, wife rattled off her Christmas wish list, forgot it all. Then you said Apple Watch. Ta-da! Now I remember, new Apple Watch. Show was so well-rounded. Well, Pete, a couple things. I mentioned my Apple Watch because I see that you picked up my fifth-string Pips at the post office this morning. You picked up a package. No,
it's very, very flat.
Yeah, they're fifth-string Pips, they're called. They're very small.
Oh, Pips.
Pip,
okay.
P-I-P-S.
Yeah, I thought you said
Pix. No.
So you said it meant like banjo picks.
Yeah. And I got notification on my Apple Watch. Somebody texts me, you know, you can get Snoopy on your Apple Watch. Well, I'm sitting here looking at Snoopy telling me. So, great minds think alike. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm not sure I understand that message, so I'm not going to read it. That was easy.
Oh, here's. We could throw this out there to the public just to see if we can get some ideas.
Sure.
You'd messaged me about the truck, about starting it. Now, the plow control on our truck turns on and off, right? And admittedly, after not this last snowstorm, but the one before, the Thanksgiving snow, after I plowed, I left it on and I killed the battery. So that was me. But then we charged it up and it was fine, and we did use the truck for a couple things. And I went and got in it to use it yesterday, and I started it, and it started up fine. And the switch was on still for the plow. I'm assuming you must have turned it on for some reason.
Well.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
So then I went to start it this morning. The switch is off because I turned it off yesterday when I was done with it.
Yeah.
And it's stone dead.
Hmm.
So I had to jump it again.
Okay.
So well, does anybody have any experience with the switch on the plow resulting in a power draw?
I think there's a power draw in the module. A minute mount module, and I suspect it's in there because it was unplugged. One of the plugs was unplugged. But we didn't charge it completely, and that's a big bet. I think there's still a draw, but we did not completely charge the battery. You have it on the charger now, I assume.
I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because, you know.
Well, I'm talking to you about we're singing songs. I'm going to put it on as soon as we're done here. You know, this place doesn't just open in the morning. I got cars I'm thawing out for customers. I got the heat going in
different
places.
You're picking up the pips.
I'm picking up the tips at the post office.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a break?
I need a rest.
I do have another Christmas song.
Good.
Not that if I were a rich man, it's not a Christmas song, but there are Christmas songs intermingled this morning because it is
Dominic
a holiday
Christmas
season.
Donkey.
Nah, Lou Monty. You know, a lot of people love that. That song just doesn't do it for me. So
you find it offensive?
No, I don't find it offensive. I find it kind of stupid. So
it's not a classic like Frosty the Snowman.
No, did you hear me play Frosty the Snowman? No. Here's what you're going to hear me.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I don't listen to this show.
Now you listen to this. Tell me this is not Christmassy.
Okay, let's hear it. Loud.
The season's upon us, it's that time of year. Brandy and eggnog, there's plenty of cheer. There's lights on the trees and there's wreaths to be hung. There's mischief and mayhem and songs to be sung. There's bells and there's holly, the kids are gung-ho. True love finds a kiss beneath fresh mistletoe. Some families are messed up while others are fine. If you think yours is crazy, well, you should see mine. My sisters all whack jobs, I wish I had
All right, we're back. It's 9:35. It is hot and cold. Oh, we lost Pete. Oh, my goodness. I could bring up the banjo music then, can't I? All right, we'll turn that down. Mr. Scruggs and family playing the Jingle Bells. Let's see. I had a thought I didn't mention before. When it comes to buying insurance cars at auction, and somebody had messaged in about, what a recipe for a disaster that it could be. And yeah, it could be. But here's one thing that's kind of interesting. You kind of have to be a little intuitive about this. I think I am, at least slightly. If a car's been in an accident, especially a fender bender. And like I say, they total out cars. I mean, there's cars that are just like, oh, my God, maybe we get a wheel off of this and resell it. But really minor fender bender, drivable car, it's been totaled out. You know, by looking at the specs on the car, age, miles, whatever, some of them show the engine actually running. That car was running up to the point it got hit. You don't always have that same thing going on a regular car that's been, say, at a car auction. Why did it get traded in? So you have to kind of become the car whisperer. And I that sounds kind of silly, but really, and that's kind of what I was, or try to be at least, years ago, and I'm dating myself a little bit here, in East Holden, there was a place called Pine Tree Auto. There was an insurance auction in Holden. And you could go, you had to pay to join, kind of a registration thing. You could then go in and look at the cars. But you couldn't run them. You could look at them. You get in them, you could check the fluids, you could do whatever. Every once in a while, you'd find a key in the car, and you could check. You could actually start it if it would start. But so you kind of then become the car whisperer. What happened to this car? How bad is it hit? Where is it hit? Has that affected the frame? To me, that's kind of fun because I love to fix things. And they usually get fixed. I don't always do it personally, but I know who to ask if I'm in trouble. But, you know, it's kind of fun to take. And really, it's the ultimate in recycling, because a lot of cars that would be at an insurance auction are going to go to a recycler. They're going to sell parts off of it. And probably they're worth way more money for parts than they are as a running automobile. But ideally, as a society, if that car can be remediated and made whole again, that's good. And there is oversight on this. It has to be inspected. I have to file anything I put on a car, any repair I do, because it'll come with a salvage title. I have to report everything we did to the state, and the state police oversee that, and they can come and check. You know, you don't want to put out anything that's unsafe. So I'm generally looking for pretty minor issue cars. And really here at 9:39 on Saturday morning, December 7th, the big deal that you see with a lot of cars, and I'm not making light of this, is plastic. It's specifically bumper covers. It could be a regular car I bought at a regular car auction. The bumper covers could be a whole mess. They have to be replaced. Sometimes they could be repaired, but usually they have to be replaced, and they have to be painted, and all the little gewgaws that are hanging off there have to be fixed or replaced if they're damaged. That kind of seems a little bit like some planned obsolescence. I remember back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, it was a big deal that a bumper had to withstand an impact of 5 miles per hour and not be damaged. Where did that go? How did that just disappear? I mean, aesthetically, aerodynamically, the bumper cover has a function. But in reality, it's an expensive, it can be an expensive fix. Let's see. Looking to fix my tractor. Oh, boy, here we go. NH55 2011, that's New Holland. I have a wire running directly from the battery switch to the fuel solenoid. The engine tech gauge will start working after 20 minutes of operation. Hope this makes sense. Help? I'm not sure. Oh, engine tech gauge, I'm sorry. Start working after 20 minutes of operation. Yeah. You got me on that one. Hi. Let's see. Hey, Tom, what's the name of the Christmas song before Scruggs? That was Dropkick Murphys, and I don't remember the particulars of it. So I'm afraid just if you do Dropkick Murphys Christmas music, you will find it. Let's see. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. This is John on Verona. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, John. How are you?
I'm okay. And I got a question for you. Maybe give me a little advice here.
Uh-oh.
Nile heat pump.
Hmm.
So they're supposed to come out with an E-Series, but I haven't seen it yet. Have you?
No. 2 years ago, I think, it was coming out. And I don't know if they tabled it or what they've done. It may be, I have a feeling, and I could be wrong, because I've not had any conversation with them, that they're focusing more on bigger water heat pumps for places like hotels in the Caribbean. I know that's mm-hmm. a big part of their business, is that kind of larger unit for those climates where a heat pump is you know, a cakewalk and working well.
Yeah. I've seen something online saying that they were going to come out with something in the first quarter of 2024, but obviously that hasn't happened.
Right. I've told them, they've got an open invite to come on the show and sit here and discuss it. You know, I'll give them a free plug. I'd like to, you know, because it's a great product and it's nice to have a local manufacturer of these things.
You know, that's what I thought too. And I've had my second original one, the brown one, just died. So obviously you can go with Efficiency Maine and buy one with a tank, and they're like $450. I really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It really doesn't fit in with solar and everything else I've got going on.
Yeah.
But But I did find a geyser online brand new. What do you think about a geyser brand new? It's probably not going to have any warranty, and it's expensive. It would be like $900 and change to get it here. It's in Atlanta, I think.
Wow. Good for you. I think it'd be okay. The compressor side of things is not serviceable unless you are a refrigeration tech, but all the controls, which would be probably the bigger area of a potential problem, is all off the shelf controls. So that part is pretty easy to work with. Let me qualify that. I think at some point they had a potted control, but you can toss that if you had to and rework the wiring with a couple of relays and a time delay. It's a pretty simple device, really. It's hard to tell what the innards are. Nobody's going to take it apart for you if they want to sell it. But that would be the only limitation, I think, assuming everything is fine.
Yeah, I've got no complaints over the original ones. They've worked for years. I think it's probably been 20 years since I've had one. And it's worked great. The other night I heard it running, and I said, "Jesus, awful late in the night for that thing still to be running." Because usually it'll run. I have it on a timer, and it'll run at 9:30 at night, and it usually runs till midnight, and then it's up to temp. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is two nights in a row, and it's still running, and the temperature is not up. So I'm pretty sure it's junk, unless the water pump's not running or something. But the PEX tubing's warm, so must be circulating water out of the soft tank to keep that PEX tubing warm. I don't think it's magically getting warm. It's certainly not steel pipe. It's PEX.
It sounds like it's time.
Yeah. So, all right. That's what I was wondering. Anyway, I don't know if you knew anything about the E-Series.
I haven't. It may be worth a phone call to him just to tell him.
That's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get a hold of him Monday.
Yeah. Keep me posted if you find out anything.
Be nice to have one. I know that, because I'd really like to buy it from them instead of buying one from Lowe's or Home Depot. I heard they got an Energy Star rated, so Efficiency Main should be in on it. But
yeah.
I'm not sure that that's happened or not. Maybe that's why it didn't happen, and that's why they're not selling them. I don't know.
The Energy Star rating was specifically for the Nile unit and a specific tank. I'm not sure how that plays out if you hook it up to your tank as opposed to Nile's tank. I do know that was an issue, and it's stupid. I mean, because if you got the beauty of the standalone unit is you don't have to throw out a bunch of stuff when something fails. The heat pump is usually it's going to be the tank that springs a leak before the heat pump fails, obviously, after 20 years. Except if you got one of my tanks, then you're going to go 40 years. That's something. Yeah, let me know. I'd be curious to see. I might try to get in touch with them too.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks,
John.
All right,
thanks, Tom. Good talking to you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah. Yeah. So, just so you know, John lives in a house with a solar system that solar hot water collectors. I think we made them that feed a tank, an earlier tank that we made. And it's been in there for a while, and it's the heat pump is backing up the solar, being a separate unit, and it's kind of stood the test of time. Unfortunately, the heat pump let go, but it does happen after 20 years. That's not a bad run. So phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478 over to line 2. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just want to tell you that the Dropkick Murphys, The Season Upon Us, is my second favorite song. My first one is The Kinks' Father Christmas. I suspect when I listen to you next week, I'll hear it.
I had it queued up. I was just about ready, and then I came across the Dropkick Murphys. And I'll play that one. That's a little more fun. But we got 2 weeks. 2 weeks? No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got two more
perfect.
Weeks. Yeah, I got plenty of time. All right, you got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Over to line one. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Yeah, Tom, I just heard the end of your conversation with somebody that was looking for a geyser heat pump.
Yeah.
For a water maker. I have two right local in Glenburn. I don't know how I'd get in touch with the guy, but I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Can you text me to the show here?
I can. Is that the same number?
Yeah, 601-207-4478, and I'll pass it on.
Okay.
Call my office. Call my office during the week, and I'll get you John's number.
Okay. And your office number?
Just look up American Solar Technics.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You'll find it. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, John, there you go. Merry Christmas, buddy. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Dave Cameron calling.
Hi.
Quick on the bypass and the APS with the hokey pokey thing.
Yeah.
A lot of vehicles with the traction control issue, if you just take the ABS fuse out, it can't see any information, so you'll be able to drive it that way. You just don't have ABS. At least you get it home.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it's a skid control ECU, and I had one on the shelf, and I'm not changing it out. Let one of my mechanics do it, but that's a good point. You're in the scenario, what the hell am I going to do? The damn thing, I don't want to tow a stupid car. So the hokey pokey worked, but if I have the opportunity, I'll pull the fuse, see what happens.
Most cars, most different brand vehicles, if you have an issue with the ABS and you find that you can't work in the traction control, you just can't drive the vehicle past that 9-10 miles an hour, whatever.
Yeah.
You can just pop that fuse out, get where you're going.
Good.
I've had the same thing happen to the older Chevy trucks where the pedal would push back at you and just buzz and buzz, and you couldn't go.
Yeah.
Just pop the ABS fuse out, because then it just goes to hydraulic brakes.
Yeah. That's good to know. Super. Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. This is why I do the radio show, just so we could get this kind of stuff sorted out. Dave says the price of Nile units has become prohibitive. I haven't seen a price. Well, I have seen some pricing, and it is high. But how that's played. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of remembering this now, Dave. I think maybe that was with the tank. And again, that may be the only way you can buy it. But we'll see. That you, Pete?
It's me again.
Okay. Did you sell something?
No, I'd run around.
Okay.
I figured I'd run around on the commercial break, but then they got distracted and it went long.
Okay. All right. That's okay.
But the truck's on the charger.
Oh, wow. You know, that's efficiency right there. Pete.
Hey, you ask me to do something, I do it.
I do appreciate that. So we got a couple minutes left. Just perfect timing to talk about some amazingly nice cars we got.
Remember that Venza I talked about last week?
Yeah.
That's gone.
Aunt Norma bought that.
You're out of luck. Aunt Norma bought it.
Yeah.
There are a couple of good cars that actually aren't up yet. I didn't put them up because they had snow on them, and I wanted to wait until there was no snow on them.
Okay.
It's not going to be today, I guess.
Right.
But we put out a 2009 Avalon that's very nice, runs really good, it's very clean. Do you know what the miles and the price are on that?
I want to say it's 109 on the miles, 109,000.
Yeah.
Is it 69 or 89? I don't remember.
You jumped ahead of me. Did you save the cut sheet? Because a lot of times when you write cut sheets, you'll just delete them after you're done.
No, did I do the cut sheet?
Well, yeah, you put it out when I wasn't here.
I took it off your desk.
Wait, I must have written the cut sheet.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that's good. All right, so it's a 2009 Avalon. It's the six-cylinder,
112,000 miles, which is low miles for a Toyota, especially for an Avalon. $89.95. It has got so many new parts in it. I wouldn't even know where to start. It's got four new tires, a new parking brake cable, water pump, idler, AC compressor, exhaust, front and rear brakes, front calipers, front bushings, alternator, inner tire. It's almost an entirely new car.
Yeah. Yeah, it was somebody just let a lot of routine maintenance go, and we did it all.
I understand that.
And it was worth it because it was an Avalon, because they are such great cars.
And then the other one is, this is a Tom rebuild. It's a 2021 Prius Prime, okay?
Mm.
And the rebuild was just the we only go after, like, you know, it hit a small deer, that kind of thing. And this one needed the windshield, because the windshield had a small crack in it, headlight, grill, and I think some maybe air conditioning parts, and that was it.
I think it had a bumper cover.
Bumper cover, yep, yeah, sorry. Okay, bumper cover as well. So that's a 2021 Prius Prime with, buckle up, 47,500 miles on it.
And this is one of those, let's drive this, it's just like driving in butter. It's that nice.
Yeah, it is really nice. It's got bells and whistles that I don't even know what they all do. But 47,500 miles. Now, I'm going off the top of my head here, because this cut sheet doesn't have a price on it, which makes me wonder if you put one in the window that doesn't have a price on it. I don't think you did. But it's the book value on a 21 Prime with 47,000 miles on it is $26,000.
Mm.
I believe we put this one out for 23 because of the because it's got a rebuild title.
Yeah.
Now, again, the rebuild title does have that certain stigma to it, but that's when you don't know who did what, when, and where. We did it. You're welcome to take it to your mechanic and have them look at it and see what they think of it. There's that bit of comfort with the rebuild title when you get it from the place that did it.
When I drove that car one night when my car acted up, and I'm like, I don't want to get rid of this car. I want this one for me.
So that simple word on the title just saved you $3,000. $3,000. You could buy another car with that much money. You have two cars. And then there's one more. I almost forgot all about it. There's a 2019. Now, this is one we've never had before. It's a all-wheel drive Prius. That's the Prius. It's all-wheel drive. So Subaru owners that wish they could get a Prius, but they like all-wheel drive, pay attention. It's a 19. It's got 195K on it. They were almost all highway miles. Car was very well maintained. Probably somebody who just traveled a lot. Book on that, retail, the average sold price on that's like $18,000. I think we put it up for like $15,500 or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that's another nice one. That's another one that's got all those bells and whistles that I don't even know what they do.
Okay, and we're just about out of...
Like lane assist and avoidance. And let me tell you a few other things. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to run out of time here. We do also have a hybrid RAV, right?
RAV's up? It's a 2017 hybrid RAV4 with 162K on it. That is $17,995.
All right.
We have a lot of really nice cars this week.
Wow. I guess so. Yeah. We've been busy. Pete, thank you. I'll see you in a while.
Sir.
And if you're bored today, come over and visit Pete.
Yay!
But there's that pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple.